Trevor, when you woke up this morning, did you say, today I'm going to talk or today I'm going to podcast?
That's the same thing.
Just play the music.
AJ, welcome to Southern California skateboarding and skating trivia. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. I have three tricks for you that I want you to describe what they are. Are you ready? Can you handle it?
I probably won't get any of them right, but okay. Go for it.
Okay, ready? This is an easy one. What is a grind?
When you ride the skateboard down the rail or the roller skates like along the rail.
Perfect. Great. That is one correct answer. Next, what is a manual?
I remember doing this in Tony Hawk, but I don't know the answer anymore. Go ahead.
A manual is kind of when you ride it without kind of you're basically balancing on the board on two wheels instead of all four.
Okay. Is that applicable to roller skating or is it just skateboarding?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't see a great way of how that works, but maybe.
That's a so this whole intro is just blown up.
Oh, all right. So what? This is the last question of the first round, and then I got some more for later for you. What is a shove it?
I don't know.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, that's my final answer.
Someone didn't play Tony Hawk Pro Skater Underground 2. It's
been like 20 years, dude.
A shove it is when you flip the board 180 degrees. So in the air, you kind of like switch the sides, and then you can obviously have variations on that. So you do an ollie, or basically you shove it, and you kind of switch the board around, and then you switch your footing. Well, your footing, I guess, stays the same. It's just your board changes. You don't change your
footing. Do you realize how many people we have lost in the cold open in this episode?
I guess I didn't really mean it for to be a cold open. All right, the speed round, if you will. I'm going to give you a word. And you're going to tell me if it's an official name for a trick or not.
Is this about roller skating or is it about skateboarding?
It's both. You can, some of these are you can do on roller skates, but mostly skateboarding.
Okay, I'll play your trivia game here. But I believe that Brink described skateboarders as that what was the like no talent wannabes or whatever when he was them out of
Brink
the pit.
Brink doesn't believe that though. That's what the other guys said.
Totally not what I mean, man. It's just those guys over there were saying that.
Yeah, they said that. Those guys over there were saying it. Okay.
Do you want to still do your trivia, or do you want to actually talk about Brink?
I want to do your trivia. This is a good one. I spent like 5 minutes on this.
Okay, go.
Okay, so just say trick or not a trick. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ollie.
Trick.
Yes. Power slide.
I'll say not trick. I think that's a trick question.
That's a trick.
Oh, it was a trick. Okay. It sounded too real to be a... It sounded like you were trying to bait me with that one.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a bait. See, some of these you don't know. Some of these... All right. Big truck.
Not a trick.
Yeah, it's not a trick. It's just referencing something. Nolly.
Not a trick.
It's a trick. I think it's just using the nose instead of the heel to do an ollie. Cake pop.
Trevor, all of these are skateboarding. These are completely irrelevant.
It doesn't matter. This is a skating movie.
Trick.
No. Mento.
Not a trick.
No, correct. You got it. Tic Tac is the name of a trick, though. 2x4.
Trick.
It's not a trick. Cantaloupe.
Not a trick.
A good one. There is a trick called melon, though. Ginger snap.
Not a trick.
It is a trick. I don't know what it is, though.
Okay.
Caveman.
Trick.
That, good one. Fluttermane.
Not a trick.
Correct. It is a Pokemon. All right, this is the last one. This is for all the marbles. It's for all the skateboarding and roller skating things.
You don't even know what movie you're talking about, Trevor.
I just played Tony Hawk. I didn't watch the movie. All right, last one. Neversoft.
Not a trick.
Correct. It is the company that made the Tony Hawk games.
I really want to go out on a limb here and say that I'm going to guess that less than half of those could be done on rollerblades.
I think they're called somewhat different things. However, let me just
roller skates. Sorry, roller skates. Roller skates. I apologize. I don't want to.
When you go skating, when you go skating in this kind of vibe, when you pick a thing, you pick a vehicle, you pick a tool that you would like to do tricks and go to the skate park. It does not matter what you choose. You could choose a bike for all they fucking care. You can choose a skateboard, a longboard, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just it's all skating. Traditionally, like, those aren't roller skates that they're on, so they should not be saying they're skating, but that's a sort of a vocab. It doesn't matter. But it's to me, the reason why I did this is because it's all skating. Even though they made a skateboarding joke in the movie, it's all skating.
I would say more specifically, it's soul skating.
Exactly. Which brings us to...
Which brings us to the movie that I'm extremely excited to do, the movie that is celebrating its 25th anniversary this very month. I would say it's my second favorite DCOM. Halloween Town's my favorite DCOM. I think this is my second favorite DCOM. And it's the third DCOM ever. It is Brink. And it's a movie, Trevor, that, correct me if I'm wrong, you had never seen this movie before.
Nope, never.
And thoughts?
Well, AJ, as you know, I said in the Cheetah Girls episode, DCOMs don't really do it for me anymore. And it takes a lot for something to win me over. But I think this won me over.
I knew it. I knew that you were going to like this movie. I knew with like the SoCal vibes, I knew that there was going to be a level of authenticity in this. And I really, really thought that you're going to like this movie. And I'm really glad that when I revisited it, I felt like it held up as well as it did for me when I watched it a few years ago, and as well as it did when I was a kid. Like, this is a movie that I think is a genuinely good movie. And a lot of lists have it ranked around that area too. So, you know, we always do when we do DCOMs, we look at where they rank in a lot of these publications. Entertainment Weekly had Brink at number 4. The Ringer had it at number 3. Insider mm-hmm. had it at number 7. And Complex had Brink as the best DCOM of all time.
What did The Ringer have as number 1 again? Like, I keep asking them.
I don't know. Let me just check. The Ringer.
What is Bill Simmons' favorite his favorite DCOM?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Zoe. Let's see. Number 1 they have as High School Musical. Fair enough. Number 2 is Smart House. 3 is Brink. 4 is Cheetah Girls. 5 is Xenon. 6 is Halloween Town. Way too low on Halloween Town. They also have High School Musical 2 over below High School Musical 1, which is just objectively a bad take.
That's like a fine take. I don't know. A lot of people have that.
It's just wrong, though. I just think that 2 is a better movie. Okay, so you've never seen this movie before. Give me whatever experience you have, as short as that discussion might be.
Honestly, I don't think I have really knew what it was except for Brink. It's the skateboarding movie or the skating movie. I didn't even know it was roller skating until watching the movie. But like I said, I equate them all kind of in the same umbrella because I was a skating kid.
Mm-hmm. As a kid?
Yeah.
Skateboards or roller skate, rollerblade?
Well, I did it all. This is why I would do it all. I would love to skateboard. And this is like when I was a kid, obviously. And like
when you say kid, are we talking like 13? Oh, okay. Before middle school. So like 10 years old?
Yeah, around then. And I would kind of switch. After like middle school hit, I realized like I wasn't getting better at skateboarding, and I would kind of stop there and switch to rollerblades, which I liked more anyway. And now in SoCal, there's LA specifically, there's a huge roller skating community, and boom. So I've tried that a few times and I really like it. But during the pandemic, there was a huge shortage of them. So didn't end up getting one. I still could, but where I live, like right in the tourist spot of Hollywood, it's kind of awful to skate. I would have to like drive somewhere, and I don't live close to a lot of the parks to skate. Mm-hmm.
Bummer. But I didn't realize that you like had a skating phase, or it doesn't even sound like it was a phase. It sounded like it was something that was big for you.
It was like several years. It would be this and playing Tony Hawk. That's where my music came from. My music taste came from. That's where a lot of outdoors stuff came from. There was a lot of it in like fifth grade. I would try and skateboard a lot. And I was really into, I don't know, I got really into it. I wasn't good. I never got good. But I really have always liked bike riding and everything. And there weren't that many parks that we could get to as kids growing up kind of in the suburbs of Boston. Boston/Cambridge, there's more parks there, but there weren't really many parks that we could get to.
Mm-hmm.
Skate parks. So mostly just around the neighborhood and stuff and figuring out how to do things. I had like a couple of ramps and grinding rails that I would, you know, muck around with in the driveway.
You know, the way that you're talking about it now, it reminded me that I was going to talk about it, member berries. I went through like a roller blading phase where I think I like had a pair and wore them 6 times and then just didn't do it again. I was much more of a bike kid, but my brother had like a skateboarding phase. I think his lasted a little bit longer and he did have ramps, and I don't know. I think we ended up using the ramps for other stuff, but I remember he definitely had skateboards. He had ramps. I don't know if he ever used them in conjunction, but it was a thing at a certain point.
Yeah. I really like rollerblading, actually. Like, I think it's really, really fun. There's a lot of control with it, and you can go really fast. You kind of feel like you can't stop in a fun way, and I think that's
good. Yeah. Yeah, you're soul skating.
Cool. You're soul skating.
A little bit of background on this movie. Brink was directed by a man named Greg Beeman. He also directed the DCOMs Under Wraps, which was the first Disney Channel original movie. Horse Sense, which I've never seen, but its sequel, Jumping Ship, is one of my favorites. Miracle in Lane 2 with Frankie Muniz, never seen it. The Ultimate Christmas Present, which I would love to do on the podcast, either this next or one of the years that we're still doing it. And then A Ring of Endless Light, which I've never seen. Alongside that, he did episodes of The Wonder Years, JAG, Smallville, for which he was also the executive producer, Blue Bloods, Once Upon a Time, and Lucifer, among others. This guy gets around, who directed this movie.
Yeah. I've seen, I think, zero of those, to be honest.
You've seen Smallville?
Smallville, the show?
Yes.
Not really.
I thought you watched a little bit of it, no?
A little bit, but not really. Like, I didn't. I've seen scenes from it. I don't think I've ever seen a full episode.
Wow. I was under the assumption that you were a Smallville kid, because I was.
No, but I'm watching that new Superman show on
Superman Lois. Is that good?
No. Sorry. The animated one.
Oh, I didn't even know there was one. How'd you miss Smallville?
I don't know.
I'm really surprised you weren't a Smallville kid. That was like my first quote unquote adult show that I watched. Like, that was leaving soapy. Nickelodeon behind.
Like the soapy stuff.
That's fair. There's a lot of Clark and Lana in it.
I don't know. That stuff is too soapy. Just same way I never got into the CW superhero shows. Too soapy.
Yeah,
not really interested in that stuff.
And then this movie was written by a man named Jeffrey Alan Schechter, I think it's pronounced. His writing credits include the TV series Animorphs, as well as the famous Jet Jackson movie, The Other Me, which is a great, great, great DCOM. And then some TV series, Strange Days at Blake Holsey High, and then Totally Spies he worked on. So written and directed by some people who really have gotten their way around DCOMs and television in general, and still working today.
We should watch the Animorphs TV show. I've never seen it, but I read some of the books.
Mm-hmm. So before we jump into the actual discussion on Brink, again, I'm glad to hear that you like it. We're both going in pretty positive on this one. I am curious, now that you've seen this one, and it sounds like at this point you've seen around 10-ish DCOMs, what's your favorite DCOM?
This one.
More than Halloween Town?
Yes.
More than Luck of the Irish?
Yeah, probably a little bit more. Maybe Luck of the Irish. Here's the thing. I think that this still has a lot of DCOM traps, but it's not awful, right? It has a lot of good cinematography, decent acting, a cool story, and some exciting scenes. Like, you still get a lot of the cringy kid drama acting, but there's a lot of things I really, really appreciate that I feel like a lot of other DCOMs don't do. Luck of the Irish is not a great movie, but I like it.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
That's correct.
I think this is leaning into, I think this is good. Like, I think this is a legitimate, good, made-for-TV movie. It's still not a great theatrical movie. Like, I don't think you could show this in theaters and people would be like, this is a movie made for TV. It still has that low-budget, made-for-TV-style drama. And when I say that, it's made to have commercials.
Mm-hmm.
The drama, the scenes are broken up where you know when you're supposed to have a break and then they're beating you ads and everything.
Yeah.
So you can kind of tell in a lot of DCOMs.
It's beholden to a certain runtime because it has to meet certain criteria. But I would say that I think that this is one of the DCOMs that pushes itself outside of that, where a DCOM boundary, the best.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, on that positive note, let's go ahead and skate in for its 25th anniversary to Brink.
Tonight, catch a Disney Channel original movie, Brink.
Oh, yes, a massive come-out rap.
Andy Brinker and his friends all have one thing on their mind.
Sweet.
To these guys, life moves pretty fast. They're over the top and on the edge of everything.
Yeah, man.
But these kids aren't just getting through life.
Yes.
They're taking it to the Brink.
900, that's 2.5 rotations in the air.
Brace yourself for Disney Channel's original movie, Brink. Tonight at 7:30, 6:30 Central, followed by Airborne, part of Zoop Weekends.
So, Trevor, what do you think of the soundtrack? Because I know you want to talk about that.
It's great. Ska, baby.
I was looking through the Letterboxd reviews on this movie, and I feel like 80% of them mentioned ska.
Yeah, there's a good amount of mentions of ska. And I don't know.
Can you describe ska music to people who don't know what ska is, i.e. me before our road trip?
Yeah, basically, it's like if you're a band kid and have ADHD while also mixing punk music, that's ska. Ska is like for ADHD people. It's the music that you are thinking of. Someone described this, and I can't. It was some meme, but it's the music that plays in your head when you really want like Cheetos, and you're just like walking to get Cheetos, and as a kid, and you're kind of like banging on the ground, and you're banging on the table, like, I'm getting some Cheetos. And there's
just
all
like you were doing earlier today, right?
Exactly, like I was doing earlier today. I didn't get the Cheetos, though. I got Taco Bell instead.
Okay, but this soundtrack rules.
Yes, it does.
Did you have a favorite song?
I liked the intro song when we got to hear the actual ska music. I forget what it actually put. Do you know the name of it?
Was it Look Before You Leap? Got a million things going round in my head.
It might have been that one. I think it was that one, but there was another one that was playing. There was one thing I wasn't crazy about, but I was trying to find the official soundtrack, and I found like a Spotify playlist with 4 songs, but that's incorrect. I think there was like another one, wasn't there?
This is why I don't use Spotify, is because certain songs just aren't on there.
There's
so.
Give by the Suicide Machines. There's Sooner or Later by Fastball. There's Apology by Clarissa. And then there's Come On Brink by Mark Mason and Rick Allen. But was there more?
Oh, there were several more than that.
Okay.
But yeah. Anyways, I was just curious. I figured you want to start with that. But how about you? What stood out to you aside from the music on this watch?
What stood out for me is the music, obviously. I really love the skating shots. Like they must have had some really great stunt doubles. I didn't get to read too much about who they were. I couldn't really find out who they were. Maybe it was them, and they do have talent skating, but obviously they need some stunts because they're minors and getting injured and stuff. But the skating shots are really cool, and especially the racing scenes where they're racing either at school or just the there's a couple of other races. There's 3 total races in the movie: roller skating races, rollerblading races, rather.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. I mean, this is a movie about skating, and in a movie about skating, you need to have good shots of them skating. I was watching it, and it made me, again, jumping to member berries. I was like, this made me want to watch the X Games. Do they still do that? Are those still a thing?
Yes, of course.
But I was just like, I remember like catching glimpses of the X Games when I was a kid. This is cool. I remember there was one time where like that guy went all the way up the ramp and then fell down, and like they thought he died because like he fell in his shoes. The shock was so big that they fell and flew off of his body and ended up being totally fine. But I don't know if you remember watching that scene when that happened, but like it just made me want to revisit like 2003 X Games era. That was just a cool time in the world and in American history. But going back to the shots, yes, they're exciting, good montages, the music and the actual use of people who know how to skate. You're right. I think there probably were some stunt doubles, but then you have somebody like Sam Horrigan, who played Val. There were a lot of close-up shots of him while he was skating. And I do wonder if he was a skater who was either cast in part due to his skating ability, or if he was just like, maybe he taught himself how to skate. Maybe he did a, Miles Teller for Whiplash and learned how to drum.
Yeah.
I don't know. But though there were some shots of him just like very clearly him skating.
Yeah. I meant more some of the more dangerous tricks.
Such as?
There were some long grinds going down the hill and doing some of those sharp turns.
the tucks and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All cool stuff, all exciting. But I would just say the good shots and the good cinematography. So 100% on the skating stuff, but I don't think it's limited. And I'll say that you were saying that, but I don't think it's limited to the skating scenes. I think that this feels like one of the more quality DCOMs because I think they took the shooting of this film seriously. And what I noticed in particular on this watch is that there are a lot of long takes. There are a lot of long, immersive, yeah. unique shots that are really cool. So like even the opening scene with Brink at his house, and there's that tracking shot of the dad of the camera following yeah. him throughout the day. I thought that was really cool. The arrival of the first day at school, like when they all meet up, I feel like that's like a good 30 to 60 second long shot of them getting to school on the first day and so much stuff happening around them. And then going back to the skating stuff, the scene where they race at school for the first time, those are a lot of really cool shots where like the camera's getting low and then going up when they're going through the obstacles. I thought the camera work was really, really cool here.
100%. I agree that the camera work just in general was really fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think that the camera work when the handy cam almost when they're racing in school, especially really like got me out of my seat or sort of leaned forward in my seat. Oh, what mm-hmm. do we got here? This is kind of good. This is interesting.
Do you have any generals you want to chat about?
I like the general vibe and I don't know how else to describe it.
It's such a vibe movie. It's such a vibe movie.
Well, skating is a vibe. Skating culture is a vibe. SoCal is obviously a vibe. And they're all just kind of vibing, talking about skating, talking about tricks and all that kind of thing. And they nail that, I think. Like, mm-hmm. I'd say this is I like the characters and I like their interactions with each other. And I like that this is kind of their thing. This is what they do. I wish there's a little more of them just hanging out and skating aside from when we first see them, then the conflicts just kind of starts. Like, oh, we already know like the conflict. We already know the villains of the movie or whatever. We know the antagonists. Mm-hmm. I wish there's more just hanging out and skating because that's the interesting stuff for me.
And that's where I think you could say that they were really beholden to this 90-minute three-act structure.
Right. And I love how they talk about like selling out, that kind of thing. That's a big part of skating culture and this kind of subculture of punk and everything like that.
Which I have some complaints about that mm-hmm. a little bit later on. Probably not the complaints you think I'm going to have, but I'll comment a little bit on the sellout part of that a little bit later. But one general I had, and I'm curious where you land on his performance. You know, I love Eric Von Detten. I love all the acting, but the one performance that really stood out to me this time was Sam Horrigan, who played Val. I don't think that this is an easy role to play. And maybe it's just such a jarring difference coming off of Pepito last week with Madeline, where I just like viscerally hated this kid's performance. I'm just like not well directed. You know, obviously a kid's movie versus a teen movie. So you've just got a little bit of a difference in terms of quality. But Val is someone that on this watch, I did love to hate him. I did want to hear what he had to say when he said it. There was something quality about this performance and for somebody to be so hateable and so obnoxious, but to kind of understand why he got to where he got and a little bit of cockiness and a little bit of like earned cockiness because the guy is a good skater. Now he's a jerk and he's a cheater, but he's got a little bit of charisma that makes you want to watch him. And you understand why Brink joins his posse aside from just the money. So I really wanted to give Sam some kudos there. I thought the performance of Val was great.
Yeah, he is a really good villain, too. A really mm-hmm. great antagonist. What was... Someone said on Letterboxd he was, like, racist. I didn't catch the part where he was racist.
No. I know exactly the part. It was the, like, oh, you don't like the way we do things here? Well, then why don't you go back to Mexico?
Come on now, run along.
This is a free country. We can be here if we want.
Look, if you don't like it here... Why don't you go back to Mexico?
I'm from Peru, estúpido.
It was so cringy, like...
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, yeah. She says, I'm from Peru, estúpido. And it's like, that was such like a poorly written insult.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have gotten a little bit more shade. But I also think that since this is a kid's movie, you got to be very open with the fact that like, this is what he thinks, and there's no subtlety around it because this movie is for 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
But also a line like that would never make it into a movie now.
No, absolutely not. Like, it, I get it, though. Like, you have to make him unlikable, but that's like, it's not a necessary thing, right?
Anyway, moving past that, he was a really, not likable villain. He was a really good villain. And yes. I kind of like just how much of a prick he is at all aspects mm-hmm. of the movie. When he visits them in like cooking class or whatever they're having, he gets called a jerk by Brink's friends. Then he goes to Brink and says, you think I'm a jerk? Do you think I'm a jerk? He's like really being such a prick. And on one hand, I don't get it because... like, Brink can just easily quit and you need him, but I think it's so much of a show of dominance mm-hmm. and just, like, kind of showing how big their wieners are.
I also like the dialogue in this movie for the most part. I think that there's some shots and lines that I'll dig a little bit later, but I like uh-huh. the fact that because this movie is about teenagers, and mm-hmm. I think that this plays on the edgy teen culture of SoCal and skating better than, like, the Manhattan freshman singing culture of the Cheetah Girls. Mm-hmm. But I really like the way that the dialogue unfolds here. And, you know, specifically there's that one line where one of Val's cronies is like, "Hey, Gabriella, have you ever been arrested for impersonating a boy?" And then she goes, "No, of you." And that reminds me a lot of like the line that we hear in Aliens where, you know, you have, mm-hmm. Which one is it, Hudson or Hicks? It's Hudson who goes, Hey, Vasquez, you ever been mistaken for a man?" And she says, "No, have you?" And I like how they insert some of that slightly more edgier dialogue that you probably wouldn't hear in a movie like The Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I don't, you know, would, I don't think they would do that today, just for whatever,
right,
however people want to take it, obviously, but it's I liked that she was just so quick to respond. I like her. I like Gabriella a lot.
Yes, I do like Gabriella.
And I like that Brink has no love interest. That's nice.
Right.
Like, no, yeah, forced love interest.
Because there's not enough time to get it. And I think they really focus on his dilemma of helping his family versus being a sellout and the whole idea of soul skating.
Yeah.
Any other generals?
One other thing I liked is I wasn't a big fan of it at first, but then came around on it, the dynamic with his dad.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Because it wasn't working for me at first. It was inconsistent. He was just, he just was against skating just cause. Like, I'm against it. Like, no one should be this happy. You need to stop skating because it doesn't get you anywhere. But then he realized, like, okay, you actually care about this. Let me actually understand it. You know what? Let me come watch you skate. I am excited to watch you skate. And I really like that turnaround.
Yeah. I would also say, like, to the dad's credit, he never said, "Don't skate." He said, "You can't make money while skating," which I think, again, this idea of him getting suspended on the first day and then, hey, like, this thing that got me suspended, I'd like to start making money off of. He's like, "No, but, like, you know, you can still do it for fun as long as it's not a big issue."
That's why it doesn't make any sense. He says, it's like, this, you need to get a real job. You need to get a job. Skating's not going to pay the bills. And then he says, "Oh, hey, I can get $200 a week." No. Why? Like, why? Why not?
I think it was just a principles thing. And it was also probably the whole, "I'm the dad. I'll take it. I'll figure out. It's my job, my responsibility. You and your mom will figure this out. But, you know, if you're looking to help make money, here's this pup and suds thing that you can do." I really loved his dialogue in the car after he got suspended.
"I think it's a record. I'm pretty sure it is."
"Yo, Dad, please."
"What was it? 4.5 hours into the new school year before being suspended?"
"It's only for today. Besides, I can explain."
"No, don't. Wait, I'll just read about it in the papers. A record like this has got to attract media attention."
"Dad, Val and his crew were dissing us. So we started giving them beef right back, and then they wanted to hit it right there at school. And clearly we couldn't step off, so we had to battle."
"Who are you? What have you done with my son?"
"God, Dad."
"Don't they teach English at your school?"
"No, wait a minute. What am I asking you for? You haven't been there long enough to find out."
"Dad, you're not listening to me."
"Sure I am. You got dissed, you ate beef. Did I miss anything?"
It was like a little cringy, but it was okay. I liked his dialogue more at the end when he said, like, I'm a construction worker or a foreman. That's what I do, not who I am.
See, I actually thought that's where the movie hit a bit of a lull for me.
A lull
and
for you?
Is this the scene where he's in the garage and he's like, I bought you your first pair of skates? That kind of hit the lull for me.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes forced sentimentality works for me.
Well, I think the difference for me is I think we already had a version of that scene already when they were out on the porch where he's like, you know, I'm your dad. And it's like, no, I'm not sorry. And he comes back and he says, I'm your dad. And if you ever need me, I'm going to help you. And I think having two forced sentimentality scenes with the dad that were basically going after the same thing. And I get one of it is, you know, I'm your dad and I'll help you. The other one is you go skate and you're good. But I felt like it was the same tone, the same beat. It was the character lull in between him getting caught doing X-Blade stuff and the invitational or whatever the showdown at the end of the movie is. So I feel like kind of having those two scenes in succession, or basically in succession, doing virtually the exact same thing, that's where I felt like it kind of hit the lull. And I think the scene in the garage might have hit harder if the scene on the porch didn't happen, or if they had found some sort of way to combine them. But I think the fact that they structurally appeared the way they did messed with my perception of it.
Okay, here's a random question. What do you think the sort of target demographic of Disney Channel was in, like, the 90, was it 98? Do you think it was more towards, like, young girls or young boys? This movie's very much targeted towards young boys, and I wonder if that was intentional to really try and gravitate them to this.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about this when we did the Disney draft a couple months ago with Cameron, and I was thinking a lot of the TV series here are really focused towards girls. You know, it's up until Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, I felt like all of the TV series, like Lizzie McGuire, mainly focused on girls. That's So Raven, mainly focused on girls. Kim Possible, mainly focused on girls. So Weird had a female protagonist. But like Lilo and Stitch series, girls. Proud Family, girls. Even Stevens, Lewis is arguably the lead, but that's more of an ensemble family piece. And I think that was kind of their hook. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Disney Channel had like a TV show that was the guy's TV show. And I think Sweet Life of Zack and Cody was kind of their answer to that. However, I think DCOMs, they did a really good job of balancing guys, girls, and both. Like, you know, a movie like Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire, I like that to me felt very gender neutral.
What I would say with this is, I'm not saying that people that aren't the target demographic can't watch it, but there is an intentional choice by Disney choosing who they want to focus on as an audience and who they want the movie to gravitate towards. This is like a Disney, if I was a Disney exec, that's sort of where I'm coming from this. Because this movie deals with a lot of topics and themes that I would say this age range of guys and kids, like young boys, would deal with. Relationships with their fathers, figuring out hobbies, interpersonal relationships with friends, all of those kinds of things. Starting your first job, owning up to your mistakes. I think they really focused on the father-to-son relationship maybe a little bit too much, just because they were trying to get it. I don't know. You know what I mean? They were trying to force it almost.
Yeah. Well, it also might be because it was the third DCOM. At this point, they were a couple months away from Halloween Town. And, you know, I've never seen You Lucky Dog under wraps. I think the first one, I think, worked for everybody. But Halloween Town, I think, had a little bit more of the focus with mothers and grandmothers, that idea of intergenerational conflict. And that sandwich generation that Gwen felt, you know, the mom. But I think that this movie maybe tried to do that, but it was also the first DCOM too for guys specifically. So I wonder if they tried to do this with the guy one, and then they had the mother one with Halloween Town.
Maybe they tried to focus too much on that. It kind of feels forced almost, but I liked it for a good amount.
I liked what we got, but I think we just got too much.
Sure.
Do you have any specific scenes?
I think anything that revolves around the race, a race, is good. Loved the first race. I think that's actually my favorite race in the movie, is the one at the school.
Personally, I just want to pound the snot out of you. The boomer suggested a race instead. We race. You win, we stop giving you beef. You lose, and man, it's like open season on your butts. Deal?
Come on, you know there's no skating allowed at school.
Yeah, I knew you couldn't step up. What did I tell you? No heart. What's doing?
Break! Why you getting in trouble, man? Dude, we're gonna have to skate against these guys sooner or later. Why not sooner?
Yeah, why not?
It's a really cool setting. The cinematography is really great, and there's a great moment where we get Brink's core character, where he doesn't really care too much about the glory. He wants to help out his opponent because he's hurt, and that's what's important. It doesn't matter who wins. It doesn't matter if you prove the bully wrong. What matters is he sees someone hurt, and he stops to help them. And not only is that like a good thing to show in a kid's movie, to have your hero just kind of have that core thing, which I think Disney always tries to focus on, what kind of message do we want to send?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, around this time, it was like, oh, no, we can't have this content in there. But I think this is one of the good things you can have in there. And I like all of the scenes with the extreme tricks. Like later, I like the last 20 minutes almost is like the tournament, whatever it is.
What I noticed on this one is that I was looking at my notes on the back half of this movie, and I was like, I don't really have anything written down, but just to your earlier point, and also to the point you just made, those skating montages are just fun. Like, as soon as that final competition starts, like, I'm in. I think that this movie does have its best scene a little bit earlier. I'll go back to that. But, you know, basically the entire scene of the competition of Brink going and Pete going and just, oh, it's his turn. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, let's watch his run. This is really cool. And then you've got the downhill race, which is incredible, too. That final sprint, you can just like see them both sweating and just grinding for this friggin' run, which is such a cool sequence. And then he wins at the end, and it all works out, and he wins fair and square, which is very cool. And then the setup and payoff when he comes back on the roof at the end. Like, I'm just listing everything that I love in that last half an hour, because that's just, it's a fun, the last half hour is really cool.
Yes, I agree.
But I do want to go back a little bit earlier to what I think for me is my favorite scene in the movie, and by which I mean like the actual best like characters doing things and dialogue and like not just skating montage, which again, I think work in the context of the story. This movie wouldn't work without them. But my favorite part of the movie is when they set up Val with the worms in his sandwich, and then it cuts to Don't Be a Wuss. When they each hold up the piece of paper that says Don't Be a Wuss, hysterical, gets me to cackle every time. And then Val, who wants to rat them out, but he sees the signs and remembers from earlier, it's like, hey, if you tell on the fact that we put your shoes up there, you're a wuss. He says, oh, I thought I saw a bug or something. And the teacher just goes, well, get over it.
Is there a problem, Val?
No, I thought I saw a bug or something.
Well, get over it.
So that scene is, I think, the funniest moment of the movie and the best moment of the movie. It leads into the race. Gabrielle is psyching out the guy at the start line. She's like, I like that in a man. And they say, go. And she darts off and that music starts and the guy's dumbfounded. Man, that whole stretch is so cool. It's like hooking. You're in.
Talk much.
Get set.
I like that in a man.
Go.
Yeah, I like that. That line was really funny to me.
Mm-hmm. But that I think to me, I love that they have this so early on. They have a lot of the fun, fast character stuff right at the beginning. And again, I do think it lulls in the middle. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But then it just, that last stretch is cool, fun skating sequences with people that you really like. So all on board for that. I have a couple other lines that I want to call out. When it's the first day of school and Katie's miserable and Dad is talking about how it's not natural for Brink to be so happy, which is also very funny when she says, he says, it's not natural for somebody to be that unhappy all the time later on. But he starts off by saying, Katie is normal. Today is the first day of school and she's miserable. And then I always loved skate better.
Can I give you some advice? Skate better.
Skate better.
Skate better. Mom, skate better.
Well, there you are.
All I have to do is skate better. Skate better.
Let's go watch him skate better.
Skate better. Skate better. Mom, that's it. I'll just skate better.
I do want to say that whole line where he's saying no one can be this unhappy. It's the call out to, or it's a callback to the first time. This is like very decom, really a line that the mom says. She very candidly just says, weren't you just complaining about how happy he was? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh yes, I forgot. I'm watching a decom and not a
not a
people talk like, no, I didn't like that.
All right. Anything else or do you want to move on?
I like a lot of the lines that they say, kind of the vibes, the vocab they say. The positive from that is Brink walks in, says, what up, fam? And the dad just says, that's not normal. it's very SoCal skater skating vocab. Yes.
Yeah, I fucking love it.
It's pretty great.
Well, with that said, I guess we can talk about what didn't really work for us on this watch.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
There is a huge issue with soul skating, which one, I don't like the name of it, but the whole idea is that they're skating just for the fun of it, yet they're still training for a tournament, and the big victory at the end is winning said tournament. It is very conflicting to have that be the difference between them and Val. Is that his name, Val?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes and no. I think it's the skating for money that really ticks them off. I think they, you know, yes, they skate for fun, but I think they also want to be really good at it. You know, like they practice really hard. Like even in the opening scenes, they talk about like Brink is coaching everybody around and trying to help them. So I think that this is their way of saying like, we're not in this for the money, but we can still be the best and we're still going to have a really good time. And also win or lose, it's fine. Like this is just to test ourselves, see how good we are. And literally, I think like if they lost, and like, obviously they had a little extra beef with Val and they were trying to prove something to him. But like in a situation where like they just did fine, they're like, Brink would be like, okay, cool. So this is what we learned. This is what we saw from them. This is what we can improve on next time. I that's where I think it's not so much of a sellout because they're not getting paid for it.
Yeah, I just felt like it was a little bit conflicting for me. And I think that part of it is you're doing it for the fun of it. If you're saying you're a soul skater, you're doing it for the fun of it just because you like doing it. And once you get any kind of money, like they're winning the tournament and they get paid. So they're still
I don't think they get paid for winning the tournament.
They do. They get money for it.
Doesn't Jimmy pay Team X-Blades when they win a tournament because they're a sponsored team?
I think there's also a monetary reward for winning. There must be something.
I understand what you're saying. I would say if that is, it's not really super present in the movie. And if it is present, like I really think that they're just doing it. They're not trying to win. The only reason they're trying to win is because they want to beat Val. Then they want to like show him that.
They were practicing before we were even introduced to Val.
Right. But I think that even if they lost the tournament before all the stuff happened specifically with Val, I think that they would be like, okay, we lost, whatever. Not a big deal.
I don't know.
But I hear the criticism. The one thing that really bugs me about talking about sellouts, Brink basically had to buy his way back in with the gear. He said himself that he's the sponsor. He's like, Puppet Subs is our sponsor. He's like, well, I guess I'm kind of the sponsor. He paid for everything himself by taking a months-long advance on his salary. And up until then, they weren't listening to him whatsoever. And he's like, here's all of this free gear. And then they're like, hey, man, what are you doing on Saturday? He's like, you mean it? I can buy my way back in and be your friends again? I didn't notice it until this watch. But yeah, that really rubbed me the wrong way this watch. I think if he actually got Team Pup and Suds to be the sponsor, I think that would be a different situation. But the fact that he paid for everything is like, oh, yeah.
It feels weird. Like, they're not understanding at all of his situation. Like, he's clearly having money issues. And I know he said at the end that, like, he did it because he liked it. But I call kind of shit on that. He literally did it because he needed the money in the context of the film. There's no other reason he did this.
I liked it. Yeah, I was good at it. And I was really, I was alive.
I know.
I got to watch that whole series again.
I was thinking that. That's like, I was about to say, it's not Breaking Bad.
I'm conflicted on that as well, because I think that the way that the movie presents it is you can genuinely understand why he is doing it. This is a way for him to help his family, doing something that he is good at. It is only temporary, and I genuinely believe that he would have stopped once the tournament was over and once his dad got the job again. I truly believe that Brink would have done that.
Yeah, but then why does he have that confession or whatever?
What confession? Remind me.
He says, like, oh, you know, I did this, or... I actually did like it. You know, I liked having the cool gear and everything. Also, they're using really, really shitty gear. Like, those skates are falling apart. Those are not safe to do the kind of tricks they're doing.
And you're more of an expert in this than I realized. I think I might have missed that confession. It might have just slipped past me. But I think that there's a way that he can say, like, I enjoyed it, but there's a reason why he turned down Val's invitation before Val said you get paid. And, you know, he may have gotten seduced to the dark side a little bit, but I still think that for the most part, he probably would have backed out. Because he did back out. He said, like, you know, I quit Val's team, I quit. And they brought him back in. But even so, he did quit when the opportunity presented itself. He did choose his friends over that. And he even gave them another chance to say, like, I quit Val's team. And then they still shut him down. And that's why he's like, I need the money. But specifically, the scene that got me as a kid, and this is where, I'm still a little conflicted, is where he's like, my family really needed the money. And Gabriella said, we all need the money, which I agree with and I disagree with. You know, everybody could use $200 extra a week. Everybody could find a good use for an extra $200 a week. And, you know, you don't know Gabriella's situation. Maybe Gabriella really needed that $200 extra a week. You genuinely don't know. But Brink, the way that we are presented with it, clearly did. And so I think that's a really good line and a really eye-opening line. But I'm also conflicted with the way, like, if that was the takeaway that the movie wanted us to see, they shouldn't have really presented Brink as almost like a martyr for his family, because he really, really, really did need that money, you know?
It wasn't really shown that they also needed money, but
right.
I guess maybe that was what was supposed to be set up, is that they're not super wealthy or whatever. I mean, yeah, California is an expensive place to live, especially SoCal.
Yeah, they might have said something like that. Maybe Gabrielle is like, my dad's not in the picture. And then Pete could have said something, you know, like, I don't know, my mom got laid off too. Like, you know, they could have done something like that to make him. And it's like, but we still chose soul skating because that's what brings us together.
They should have been more accepting of this. I think they're jerks.
I can see it both ways, because he's not really doing it just to make the money, but I see both sides. I assume they're all very fine people on both sides.
One of them, I guess, is either his dad is dead or has just a stepdad.
Yeah, he's got a mom and a Jerry.
And a Jerry. And Gabriella, I don't think her dad was in the picture.
Correct.
Right? So maybe that's part of it, is they're all either like single parent households or divorced parents, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of, you seen Mid-90s, right?
Yes.
You know that scene where we saw Mid-90s together, but there was the scene where the mentor guy sits down with the younger kid. I forget their names because it was so long ago, but he was like, his dad can't even afford socks. And like, you needed a scene like that. If the point was everyone needs the money, I feel like you needed to, like, yes, but why didn't we see any other proof of this? So that was that's something that did bug me. I would say a couple other things. First off, some lines were kind of cringe. The Nunya line, I always thought was cringe.
What's in the bag?
It's my stuff.
You got more stuff now than when you left. What's in the bag?
Nunya.
Nunya?
Nunya business.
They use that line in Moana too.
I haven't seen that one since it came out either.
Oh.
And then the other one that I hated was, I feel like Katie had a couple cringe lines and where she goes, whoa, a couple hundred bucks a week? I like. Just like, okay, yeah. Turn the effort down a little bit, babe.
Whoa, a couple of hundred bucks a week? I like.
Yeah, it was a little cringy. A little cringy. Mm-hmm. Okay, why were all of the people trying out for X-Blade 30 and above?
I mean, if you get paid, I don't know if there's an age limit on this
thing.
They're
all middle schoolers. Why were there a bunch of 30-year-olds?
They were high schoolers.
They looked like 30.
Oh, I thought you meant the X-Blades.
Oh, were they high schoolers?
I imagine.
More middle school. These kids look like they're in middle school, not high school.
No, they definitely seem like they're high school. The way that they talk, the way that they have a lot of independence, this to me seems like they are like very clearly. Yeah, because Brink has a job.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Well, anyways, the kids trying out for X-Blades, or the people trying out for X-Blades during that whole scene, they all looked very old.
Well, you know, anything for $200 a week, it's that Tim Dillon sketch. It's like, that's $200 a week. And then the last nitpick I have is, I noticed this on this watch for the first time, but They're in the final chase, or the final race at the end, the weather kept changing. So they were surrounded by clouds at the start. And then after they take off and they cut back to the parents watching on the screens, it is totally clear weather. And then the rest of the time that it is with Val and Brink, they are like kind of getting a little bit of a haze. So I don't know if they just had probably a tight production schedule and they had everything set up for the race and they couldn't waste the day. But that was very noticeable on this watch about how it was like perfectly sunny to it looks like it's about to start downpouring.
Yeah, so you are learning a very, very big lesson that sometimes scenes are filmed on multiple days.
Oh, I mean, I'm fully aware of that, but it's,
I know it's obvious. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Pick up too much on that, but that's okay. I believe you totally.
Do you have anything else that you want to call out that you didn't like about Brink?
The scene where Brink joins X-Blades, the manager guy, I also thought the manager guy was basically trying to get off screen as soon as possible. Every time he said his line, he was ready to get off camera. He was really trying to finish saying his lines fast. Did you notice that?
I did not, but I think he was like, hey, I'm Jimmy. Yeah, I'll be here in a minute. I'm gone.
Yes.
I got more things to do.
But it was really weird. It didn't get me the impression of he's a fast-talking business guy. It got me the impression of, okay, he's literally just trying to get off screen as soon as possible. It's like, oh, here are my lines. I'm leaving now. So Brink just joins, and then he says, your parents cool with this? You got parents? Okay, they're cool with this? Great, let's go. This is highly illegal. He can't do this without parent permission because he is not 18.
Well, let the record show that he did ask.
Yes, you know, but he didn't have anything signed.
Best adult joke, Trevor. Do you have anything here?
I don't think I do.
The only one I had was when Katie said she's eating really a lot of food. She's eating it very fast. And she says, what's the point of having a fast metabolism if you can't use it? And that isn't necessarily an adult joke, but it's something that I appreciate as an adult.
I didn't jot that down. What I noted from it is that a word that I would have known as a kid? I thought that. I'm like, did I know what that meant when I was 6, 7, however old she is?
Yeah, I feel like that would be like a Rugrats word where it's like, watch out, Phil. Your metabolism's gonna like slow down or something.
Megalism or something.
I didn't have a drinking game. Do you have anything that you want to share?
Anytime they grind.
Yeah, I guess
you know what a grind is now.
I guessed that correctly.
I said you know what it is.
Yeah, but you said I know what it is now, implying that I did not know what it was.
Okay,
before.
Yeah, well, sure, whatever. I don't care.
I guess you could chug every time they say soul skating.
Sure.
And maybe sip every time they say skate.
That's so many. Probably.
Yeah. Sip every skate and chug every soul skate. That is my impromptu drinking game for Brink. Any member berries?
I know we talked a lot about Tony Hawk earlier and skating and all that kind of stuff, so I'm not going to regurgitate all that, but did you ever have tech decks as a kid?
They existed in my households. I never really played with them.
I had, when I was a younger kid, I had the ones that you had the dudes, and you would have like the tech deck things. But then
I believe
school,
it is D U D E Z, right?
D, I don't know, but maybe. But then they made some kind of comeback, and people in middle school were obsessed with them. I didn't pick it up because I thought it was kind of silly at that point. But they were like, "Look at all these tricks I'm doing." I'm like, "What? I don't get the trick you're doing. You have two fingers on the board, and you're not like doing the tricks." I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. In middle school, I was done with tech decks. But some people, they made a comeback, and I saw people bringing like trash bags filled with tech decks.
Yeah, it was a thing.
It was a thing. The X Games was a good one that you brought up.
Yeah, I actually got a few, and I'll knock out my cast ones out of the way because there are a couple cast ones. But Eric Von Detten was just, he was a member, Barry. Specifically, I don't know if you remember me saying this in the DCOM draft, if you listened, but that when I was at Test Track at Disney World, probably 2003, I was with my dad, and someone like came out from the back, and it was our turn to go up next. And the guy was like, hold up. Someone's coming in from the back door. And my dad's like really annoyed about it. And then he just looks and says, is that Eric Von Detten? And Eric Von Detten was like cutting in front of me to go on Test Track. Cause of course he has freaking Disney privileges. And then in the most dad moment ever, he just goes, "Hey, Eric." And I'm petrified and so embarrassed. And I like turn right around, and he goes, like, he points down at me and says, "You got a big fan here." And Eric was really cool. He like waved at me and smiled. That was, it was really nice of him. So
that's
Eric.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's Christina, crazy.
Yeah. It was a cool moment. It's I'm happy that I've been able to tell this story twice now on the old kids movies. Christina Vidal, I wanted to call her out. The girl from Freaky Friday played Gabriella. She was in a few childhood movies. And
yeah, she was in Freaky Friday.
Yep. I had Walter Emmanuel Jones, who played Boomer. He was the original Black Power Ranger, Zach.
Oh! Wait, and what Power Ranger?
The original one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah!
It was scratching my head. I was like, why does he look so familiar? And he was the first Power Ranger to wear the black suit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like his name, Boomer. Okay, Boomer. Yeah.
And then the last one is kind of a member berry for you, but Jimmy, the guy who played the X-Blades agent, I don't have who he played, but look him up, Trevor, because he was in Fern Gully.
I honestly don't remember the names of the characters from Fern Gully.
And then the last one I have is, this one is not a person-related one, but Jordy, the other person in their skating crew, he had a t-shirt at one point that had a composite cord on it, you know, the red, yellow, white. And that brought me back to when I would use that to plug in everything in my life.
You don't use that anymore?
No, it's like walking around with like a Chromecast t-shirt or like an HDMI t-shirt or something like that, or an AirPlay t-shirt. Icon. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to. Walking around with, I don't know, a FireWire. People still use that kind of, but I get you. That's wild. I mean, you can still technically use it for some things.
But... yeah, you need it if you want to play Smash. Anybody from this movie that you'd want to be best friends with, and why is the answer Brink?
Yeah, Brink will pick you up when you fall down. And he's a really great friend. And honestly, I would be a good friend to him. Because if he ditched me to become ditched his friends to become a sellout, that's fine. As long as he joined, like hung out later and it didn't change him. Because he still was the same guy when he left. And yeah. I think that is kind of a negative that we don't see him kind of get corrupted by it. He's still the same great dude and great kid, you know, when he joins X-Blades. I think if he got a little bit more of an attitude, that would have been maybe a little bit more challenging for DCOM to get right. But
yeah,
I would have appreciated that.
Like Galleria in the Cheetah Girls.
Yes, exactly. Except that was almost to the extreme. Where I didn't like her at first, and then she became Raven. I'm sorry, Raven. You're great, but I love her character in Raven. That's a Raven.
Did you say you had an honorable mention?
Yeah, the honorable mention is Gabriella.
Okay.
Gabriella is great.
So I had initially said Pete, because I thought he was kind of a snarky good guy, a good loyal friend. But then when he and the rest of them started turning their back on Brink, when it was, again, very clear that he needed the money and then was going out of his way even before he bought the gear to like really try to apologize and make amends and try to be friends and explain the situation, they just weren't hearing it. And that kind of removed Peter as a contender for me. So I ended up actually going with Boomer, because you can be a good guy and get paid for doing what you love, which is super cool. Like, Trevor, this whole thing is like, why would you get paid for doing what you want to love? I'm like, would you rather get paid for doing something that you hate? Like, yeah. the whole message of the movie is like, why would you want to get paid for doing something that you love doing? It's like, yeah, you're right. I'd rather do a job that I hate for 40 hours a week and then have no time to do anything fun that I really like.
I think part of it is don't make your hobby your... This isn't really what the movie is saying, but don't make your hobby your job is what a lot of people say, because then you start to hate it.
I think that's
to lose its fun.
That's fair, but I also, like, I don't fully agree with that. I agree with it to an extent. You know, sometimes you can lose yourself in the process, but...
Not even lose yourself, just you lose the love of it. You lose the magic. Like, you know, working in movies and with movies makes watching movies sometimes lose a little bit of the magic. You lose a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's
especially,
fair.
You know, if you're a film exec, you obviously lose a little bit of that. If you grew up loving movies because you have to focus so much on money and not the craft, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Keep I still think angle. I'd rather do something that I love every day than something that I hate every day. And so that's why I like Boomer, because Boomer is a good person who is good at what he does, and he gets paid for it, and he's not afraid to stand up to Val. So all good stuff there. Do we make this movie in 2023? Hell no. You leave this movie exactly how it is, because it's amazing. And you can watch it on Disney Plus whenever you want.
I think if you had to, though, I think you keep it in SoCal. You keep it... I think that the idea would be almost trying to make skating cool again, because I feel like this was a very mid to late 90s and early 2000s boom of skating and skateboarding and everything. But I really want skating to be cool again. People going to the skate parks and still doing it. I feel like the people that are still doing it are often the kids, or people, not even kids anymore, the people that grew up in this boom of skating and skate culture in the 90s. I want it to be more, I want there to be a resurgence of this, and also more ska. get some, I got my chicken tenders from the beach stands, and I have music in my head, and it's ska music.
Amen.
I think that was the quote, actually. It was chicken tenders. It wasn't Cheetos, it was chicken tenders. I can go for some chicken tenders right now.
All right. Maybe I still say don't touch it. Leave it as is.
Well, let's just, if we did have to, what would the main conflict be? I don't think they would do soul skating or anything like that. Would you be okay with another skating movie? Skateboarding, rollerblading, that kind of thing?
Sure.
Okay, but it wouldn't be called Brink. Oh, well, a reboot. Would you do sort of like a soft reboot? Or anything like that, where it's Brink's son or something.
Don't try so hard. Leave this movie as it is. For example, I watched Drive again the other day, and I remember thinking for years, I'm just like, I want a Drive sequel, make another one. But you know what? It's good. It's fine. I love it. It's a perfect movie. Don't touch it.
Where's my Nice Guys 2 sequel?
The sequel to Nice Guys 2 or a sequel called Nice Guys 2?
I want a sequel to Nice Guys.
I want a sequel and stuff.
Sequel? Don't say and stuff. Just say I want a sequel.
Anything else, or do you wanna go skating?
No, that's it. Let's figure out what's the thing this time.
Trevor, is this movie Team Puppet Suds or Team X Blades?
So is X Blades the not recommend?
Yeah, X Blades. It's got Val. It's a cheater. He's gone, man.
This is a soul movie. So Pup and Suds all the way.
Yes.
This is soul filmmaking, AJ. They really do. This is a winner. This, to me, is a winner. I really enjoy it. I think it's great. I honestly don't have much else to say. I think it's a solid skateboarding movie.
It's not a skateboarding movie.
I meant skating. I meant to say skating, but I just... This is just honestly a solid movie that I think basically anybody could enjoy, though I would probably say people over 30 or whatever are not going to really get much from this. It's really not perfect because it's very decomified, but the decomifications
are very, very low. The complications of process. Sorry.
I would recommend this basically to everybody. I don't have another movie I would recommend over this, but just know, yeah, you're going in and watching a DCOM. And if anything, this makes me want to play Tony Hawk again. And it's like, I just want to bust out the PS2 and play some Tony Hawk and listen to Goldfinger and all that kind of thing.
No, I hear you. I think I'm with you, too. I would say that this is definitely a Team Puppet Suds. It's a winner through and through, and I love that this is the cream of the crop for DCOM. However, I will say that, you know, it is a DCOM, and some people just can't get behind DCOMs even when they're at their best. They would still see a movie like Halloween Town, a movie like this, and just say, you know what, this just isn't for me. And so to those people, probably people who are like over 35, I would say mid-90s will probably get a little bit of this for you. But for everybody else, and for everybody who, you know, wants to revisit one of the best DCOMs and remember what it was like to watch a DCOM and still feel that nostalgia and that love for what is genuinely a good movie. This is genuinely a very good movie, independent of the DCOM stuff. But if you can't take your DCOM glasses off, no shade, no disrespect, just watch mid-90s instead. But for everyone who can and wants to revisit that, this is the movie for you.
Hell yeah.
I'm so glad you like, I really am very glad you like this movie, Trevor.
It's good. It is. I was having a great time. I still stand by a lot of my critiques, but it doesn't matter.
Perfect. Well, with that said, Trevor, I believe that you are tackling the movie for next week. So do you have a hint for what we can expect in, I should say, 2 weeks, actually?
Yeah. So this one's not a anniversary movie, but it's topical because something just came out in theaters, and I know we've been talking about it, or I've wanted to do it for a while. So let's order a bunch of boxes of pizza and cowabunga.
I felt like you were going to do this one. I don't know why I had a feeling you're going to do this one, but I've actually never seen it. I've never seen any iteration of any of these movies.
Oh, so, okay.
Yes, you know, let's strap in and put on our shells and have a good time with this one. But until then, that episode again will be coming out in 2 weeks. So until then, you can follow us on Instagram at The Old Kids Movies and on Twitter at Old Kids Movies if you want to see what we're talking about and what we're sharing and get notified whenever we have a new episode. If you wouldn't mind leaving us a review if you're listening on Apple's podcasts, or a rating if you're listening to us on Spotify, that really, really does help the show. So even if you could just take 2 seconds and do that, really would mean the world to us. You can follow us on Letterboxd. Those links are in the show notes, and we're often leaving hints about what movies and specials are coming up next. We have a Patreon episode coming out this month, and we're excited to get that one out to you. And if you want to sign up for our Patreon, at the upper level Patreon, you get shout outs at every single episode's end. So to Emil, Travis Beal, Ben Franke, Ray Munoz, Trevor Sprouse, and John Urbaniak, thank you for supporting The Old Kids Movies. We hope that you are enjoying your patron exclusives. And I think that that's going to do it. We will see you next time on The Old Kids Movies. Thanks for listening. Come on, break. Jump it, grind and pound it. Slam the ramps and show you.